It's 88.5 KCSN. I'm Sky Daniels, and it is a pleasure to welcome Natalie Maines to the studio.
Thank you.
The last time I saw you perform these songs, I guess was your unveiling at the Troubadour.
That was my very first solo show.
And I remember we spoke afterwards, and you had that genuine, you know, look of, how did you think it went? How was it?
Yeah.
Because it is a different experience, yeah?
Yeah, for sure. I felt like a fish out of water, I think, a bit without the other girls on my right and left. But I'm getting used to it. But yeah, and I just had a lot to remember that night with all my guitar chords and all of these newer songs. So, but it was fun. It was fun to finally play in front of a live audience.
And we then saw you, was it a week or two later at South By?
Yeah,
that time,
a couple weeks later at South By Southwest.
And I was commenting to one of the members of your management how it was a wonderful show. I saw the one at the Moody Theater, and I got to sit down in an air-conditioned room.
Right.
Which was, I wanted to thank you so much, because at South By, that's a real treat.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, there's so many questions that I have, but for many people, the first time I saw the Dixie Chicks perform, 1997 at a Sony convention in Miami. And I remember, and you know how those things go. It was, I think it was 9 or 10 hours into it when you guys came out. And I just was blown away. And even then, not really knowing a lot. I knew that prior to your joining the band, there was a real focus on bluegrass and traditional, but I had no idea what to expect. And I knew from that moment forward that this was not a band going to be pegged.
Right.
That it wouldn't really fit into any, single genre. And now as you move into this solo record, it's clear that you really love songwriters and songwriting.
That's true. When other people do it. I don't love writing songs myself. I do love the feeling at the end of it, but songwriting for me is kind of like homework. It's very rewarding, but I do anything to try to avoid it.
You did come up with a line on stage at the Troubadour that I've never
heard. Oh, yeah, yeah. Word for a third.
It's a classic, and I'm sorry, but it's going to stick with me forever now because it was tremendous.
That's a good one. I like word for a third.
Well, you have been and worked with and know so many of the songwriters on this record. It's an impressive list. One of the songs you did today, Dan Wilson, who's worked with you before.
Yeah.
So you've obviously grown relationships.
Yeah, and Gary Loris, we wrote with for the last Dixie Chicks record. And then Patty Griffin, I have been singing her songs since the beginning. She's the best. And who else? And then Ben Harper. Right.
And Jason, who joins us today.
Yes.
So and Ben, I guess the way you connected with Ben is your neighbors? Is that how you made the connection?
Well, not really neighbors. We did live in the same area, but we had mutual friends who just were always trying to get us to do something together. And we did a song together for one of those friends' documentaries. And so that was probably the first sort of working together experience that we had. And then maybe about a year before we started recording, I also went to a studio downtown with Ben to just sing some harmony on some demos or songs he had recorded. And two of those songs were Vain in Vain and Trained. And so then those wound up being on this record. But as far as getting this album going and starting something with him, it was more just finally gelled together as far as circumstances. He started a studio on the west side of Los Angeles, which is where my life is pretty much happening. And so it just made it possible for me to do the morning routine with the kids.
Right.
And then go put in some hours at the studio and then still be back. Yes, exactly.
More than a day job, that's for sure.
That's my life.
Thank you.
Madrid, a place they call your soul. We'll sit down for a while and let the evening roll. Don't worry about the time, we'll find a place to stay. The people around you seem familiar in some way. Look kinda like we did before we got so cold. In the air the questions hang, will we get to do something? Who we gonna end up being? How we gonna end up feeling? What you gonna spend? Let's fall in love again, music as our guide. We'll raise our ready hands and let go for the ride. Down into unknown lands where lovers meet and hide. We got these lives free, we don't know where they've been. We don't know where they'll go. Starlight of the sun, the dark side of the moon. In the air the questions hang, will we get to do something? Who we gonna end up being? How we gonna end? Afternoons with nowhere much to go and nothing much to do but sit up in my room and let the world unfold. And in the air the questions hang, will we get to do something? Who we gonna end? How we gonna end up feeling? What you gonna spend your free life on? In the air the questions hang, will we get to do something? In the Chicks, we always had months of pre-production, right, where we write all the songs and really get all the arrangements exactly down. And then you go into the studio with, you know, session players to track them. And this was just really doing everything ourselves and taking it song by song. And I didn't tell my management I was in the studio. Ooh. I didn't tell Sony I was in the studio. Nobody knew anything. So we just did it all for the fun of it and for the love of it. And I told his band, I have no money for you. If this turns into an album, then you will be paid and Sony will pay you. But I don't want to tell Sony about this. So if you want to come for fun.
So this was a stealth session.
It really wasn't. And I think it made us bond more like a band. You know, we're all in it together. Nobody's there collecting a paycheck or getting paid by the hour. We're just doing it for the love of the music. And we enjoyed creating together. So it was a fun process. And it was probably 7 songs in before I told my manager.
Wow,
I have
really?
7 songs. Yeah.
I did not know this.
So far as the direction of the sound, it really was all just accidental and organic in its creation. And I didn't have to think. Looking back now, I can see why people would assume there was some thought put into the direction. And really, for me, this is just the sound that would naturally be me. I
think that resonates the most with you.
Yeah, this is what my solo album would sound like.
It's music that I guess personally that, you know, you really care about, because obviously these are some songwriters that you know and have worked with and appreciate their work, and there's songs that you didn't. And now we have clear notice of let's avoid categorization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no need for that.
Right.
It's music.
Right.
It falls under the category of music. We'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Now one, I sort of know how, but I'm going to ask a rhetorical question would you say you're outspoken?
Yes. Well, you know what I am? Because actually in my life, I feel like I'm a pretty quiet person.
Which is what I've seen in the small interaction we've had.
Yes, I'm kind of a shy and quiet person, but when asked a question, I'm just kind of incapable of not answering it honestly. So that's what gets me into trouble. And I am a very opinionated person, and I have what I think are funny commentary going on in my head all the time about different things, but usually I keep them to myself, or I've got like 2 people I feel safe enough. They know me well enough that I can tell them everything. But and I've let loose a lot on Twitter, but that's not officially talking. That's typing.
Yeah, for all you know, you may not have typed that.
Exactly.
You know, unless we can hear an audio print, we're not sure that's you typing.
That's right.
Well, I only bring this up because, you know, to be fair to you and to you know, I want to diffuse a certain sensationalism that you've had to endure. You have made some comments that you know, I don't want you to become wary or totally, you know, recoil from the media, because, you know, you're a great artist and I don't want that to happen. But it does seem, and I'm sure you've seen in recent interviews, I'll see a great interview, but then they'll underscore one element because they just want to blow up some comment you made.
Yeah, I still feel sort of, you know, used in that way by the press as far as getting to put whatever spin they want. Or I think everyone wants the big story or the big soundbite from me, which I understand. And so, yeah, print is the most difficult, because I think when I'm in person and people can hear my voice or hear me laugh or know that I don't say the things I say with any sort of ill will or anger or anything, but I am very blunt and honest.
Well,
I just don't know any other
clearly
way to be.
You had every right to I just remember Not Ready to Make Nice is just, you know, you couldn't help but understand the sentiment that was being so beautifully expressed in song,
right,
after all the turmoil that had gone on, and hence, you know, there was a, you know, one, as a person and an artist, I could understand you pulling back and going, what's going on and where do I fit and how do I approach, or do I want to approach it? Did you ever have any doubts of saying, you know what, this is too much, I just don't want to deal anymore?
No, not when we were in it. I definitely felt in fight mode and defensive mode, and I felt very right about my right to question government or make a comment about the president. So whenever I, ever since I was a child, anytime I feel something's unfair or unjust, I fight till the end. I'm just like that. And so I think for me after, I think I fought through that last Grammys when we won. Mm. And I feel like that's kind of when subconsciously something in my psyche knew that the battle was over for me and that I felt I had won.
You are doing some stuff. I see that you're playing some shows with the girls in the Courtyard Hounds. So you guys are actually sharing stages pretty.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Well, there's no fighting or
anything.
No,
I know.
Like
I know that. I know that.
Yeah, we're doing a show in Austin.
Right. A benefit for a public radio station, which is.
It is.
We're always
also,
down with that.
It's actually honoring my father, who has been on Austin City Limits more times than any other musician
is that
in
true?
The history of that show.
So we should
doing
say
this
that your father is a,
for him.
A, you You know, Lloyd Maines is a very well-known steel guitar player and is one of the most appreciated musicians
in Texas. Yeah, sure. And so we're doing the show for him, so he's going to sit in with all the groups, and then and it's groups he's played with before or had something to do with. So
Dad's stirring the pot.
Has played with the Chicks and co-produced one of our albums with us, and then. And then Courtyard Hounds are going to do some stuff. I'm going to do some solo stuff with Ben. And then other people, Joey Lee and all these other people my dad's played with. So that'll be a fun show.
Well, and I did not know that he held that distinction.
Yeah.
We were discussing earlier that you hold a distinction, and which is pretty crazy in the fact that the Chicks, according to Billboard, and usually I let Billboard slide with their research, that the Dixie Chicks are the only female. I don't know why we have to do the female artist thing, but I guess this is the way you are the only female artist to have back-to-back diamond records.
All right. I crack up at all the statistics. Yeah, so yeah. Many keeps track of it. It's like baseball.
That's pretty crazy, right? To have two 10 million selling albums in a row.
That is crazy.
Now, when you're growing up, even though you're growing up the daughter of a very, you know, celebrated musician, and you went to Berkeley.
Dream of that?
Did you see that coming?
No, I never thought in those terms. But I did think that I would be doing music and, you know, but I think a lot of kids dream that, right?
Right.
So it just happened to come true for me, but... it is wild. The other wild statistic, and I don't know that I knew that one. The back-to-back diamond, you say?
Yeah.
But the other one that blows my mind is that we're the biggest selling female group of all time.
There you have it.
So that's weird when you start thinking of all the
groups
that you admire.
You have so much music left to make and perform. And that would start to, like, I don't know how I would respond personally. It's not a bad problem to have.
No. Well, yeah, and luckily, that's the thing, though, about country music. That's the industry where people do still buy albums and where you can do that sort of thing. But I think those days are over. Hey, maybe we'll hold that record forever.
Fact of the matter
nobody buys enough albums anymore to ever break it.
Well, the fact of the matter is that there's the good things that come of all the process. And that's certainly why when we knew you were coming by today, we did want to focus with you on the joy you have in your whole life in making music and the joy that we have in you being willing to come out and share it with our audience today. It's really appreciated.
It's fun. This is our first sort of acoustic live performance, so it's been fun.
Well, we really appreciate it, and I want to remind everyone that Natalie's solo album, Mother, comes out next Tuesday, and we can't thank you enough for having stopped by 88.5 KCSN.
Thank you.